The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. Boy, I tell you, I am so glad that we can have tender hearts, that when we sing songs that is about the Lord Jesus Christ and God's goodness, that we're not so stiff that we do not shed a tear from time to time because of the goodness of God. And I thank the Lord for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and let's look at that scripture one more time. Then we're going to go over in just a minute to the book of Exodus chapter 16. In a moment, we'll go there. But look at the scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 again, please. And it says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, if we're not careful in our Christian life, we can be people that only look at the blessings of the past and we never see what God is doing in the present. When I think of how good has God been to us and each and every one of us in the past, we can actually thank God for all those things. But yet we need freshness every day. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of Exodus chapter 16. The book of Exodus chapter 16. I want to speak to you this morning on living on day-old bread. Living on day-old bread. You know, here in the Bible, you see the story of Exodus chapter 16 and verse 19, where the Bible is talking about the Israelites, about Moses, and how God gave them bread fresh every morning. The Bible says in verse 19, "And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses," the Bible says, "and but some of them left it until the morning. And the bread," the Bible says, "in it breed," it says, "or it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them." Now why? Because they did not take the daily bread that God had given them. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament where the Bible talks about, "Give us this day our daily bread." Whenever I think about that verse, I'm so reminded about my upbringing. When I was raised in Millers, Maryland, and I lived on the farm for the first couple of years of my life, 6 years complete. But then after that, often when I go back to the farm and spend time with those that raised me during those early childhood years, and our farm was just very unique. We had five sheds that was on the farm, and several of those were chicken coops that we had, but they were large, large sheds. We had two barns that was on the shed. Or on the farm, two large barns, and one of those was outfitted with tractors and disc and all sorts of other stuff. And the other one, of course, had hay in it, and of course, down below is where we kept the hogs and things of that nature. And then we just had some outside type of sheds where just different animals we would keep in. Of course, they could go in the wintertime or whatever to be able to receive shelter. But we had something that was unique, and I guess a lot of farms had them back then. I don't know. I'm just familiar with ours. We had a huge two-story house, and then it had a wraparound type of porch where we had two swings, one on the front and one on the back, where you had the swings you could swing in the evening time. And, of course, then you could walk across, of course, being outside on that porch, and we had what we call a summer house. And in the summer house is where my grandmother would be able to process the food, or they'd be able to store up the food. And in that summer house is where she made fresh baked bread. And there was something when you could put up the windows and just have the screens there, and you could smell, honestly, you could smell that fresh baked bread when she would bake it. We would be out, we had a tire swing that was out there, and I remember Grandma being in there, and she was cooking that fresh baked bread, and can I tell you, you could smell it while swinging on the swing, and you begin to get absolutely hungry with no fulfillment whatsoever. And so I remember her doing that, and I remember that there's nothing like my wife and my daughter, especially those two, like the Shipley's donuts. And now we have a couple of Shipley's donuts around, and they love the Shipley's donuts when the light is on because that means they're hot. They're hot. So as we'd travel in America, you know, we'd always travel, and they'd say, hey, the light is on. The light is on. And so we'd wind up pulling in at Shipley's, right? Is it Shipley's? It's not. What is it? Krispy Kreme. Like I was saying a few moments ago, my wife and my daughter loves Krispy Kreme donuts. But, you know, when those lights is on, that means it's hot. And there's nothing like being able to take and eat something that is fresh out of the oven that is just hot and very nutritious there. Thank you for helping me with false advertising there. Here we see there's the Israelites. And the Israelites, of course, were people that was trusting God. This is the 40 years of their desert journey. And they were told by God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray, and I want you to be close to me, and I want you to trust me, and I want you to obey me. And he said, and what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to supply for you. And so he supplied for them from heaven that which is bread every single morning. They were not supposed to allow the bread to linger over to the next day, except for that one particular day when they were supposed to gather prior to the Sabbath to be able to have it for the next day. But all those other days, they were not supposed to do that. They were supposed to be people that trusted God every single day and every individual day of that week that God would supply. And by the way, don't ever allow the oldness to take place in your life. Don't ever allow Christianity to grow old and stale in your life. Don't ever allow the church service or the reading of the Bible or meeting with God to grow old in your life. An elderly lady was sitting in the on her couch in the living room area, and she was urging her husband to remember the times of the past in their married life. She said, husband, she said, I remember when you used to kiss me. It's been a long time since you kissed me. He leaned over and gave her a kiss on the cheek. And she said, oh, so sweet. She said, I remember the day you used to hold my hand. It's been a long time since you held my hand. He reached over and held her hand. And she said, oh, that's so sweet. He said, I remember the time you used to nibble on my ear. He got up and he walked out of the room. She said, where are you going? He said, I got to get my false teeth. Some things you can't repeat. And you ought to be able to do them right the first time. The Jews here are wondering now for 40 years. And in this 40 years of wonderment, they were supposed to trust God on a daily basis. On that sixth day, of course, they're supposed to go out and they were supposed to gather some extra manna. But you'll see that here they were supposed to trust God. And I want to speak to you this morning on don't allow the bread to go bad or living on day-old bread. Now, let me give you some things that we ought to do. Statement number one, don't live on yesterday's blessings. Don't live on yesterday's blessings. I could revert back to all the times of coming up, and I've got wonderful, fine childhood ministry memories of the farm and stuff like that. But can I tell you, I can't live there. I can't live on just the blessings of yesteryear. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 11 and verse 3, he says, give us today our daily bread. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, it is the Lord's mercies, the Bible says, that are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, and every morning great is thy faithfulness. And so we have to understand that God has been good to us and God has given us blessings right now. God is the one that takes care of us, and God is the one that gives us the breath to breathe, and God is the one that gives us the ability physically to be able to be mobile. God is the one that helps us to be able to move around, if you will, and to be able to have friendships and to be able to be a blessing to other people. And we have to understand that God does not want us. So I remember the day when the children were home and what a blessing it was. But you know, it might be a blessing that now you can be in a different arena of life and be able to experience different things now that your children are grown. You say, I remember the day when I first got that job or first started that company, or I remember the day when I first been able to move in this certain house or this certain neighborhood or have this certain car. I remember these things, and they are good things to be able to remember the blessings of God. But please understand that if you look around, God has been good to you today. Look at the friends you have today. Look at the church you have today. Look at the children you have today. Look at the grandchildren you have today. Look at the neighborhood you live in today. Look, if you would please, about how God has been good to you with your present health, or how God has been good to you with all the enormous things that God has brought to you in your life, and you would be able to thank God for His daily blessings. A year ago, some of you were not married, but now you're married. 2 years ago, some of you were not married, but now you're married. Some of you now have children that after you became husband and wife, God blessed you with children, and now you have children, and that's a new era in your life. And some of us have moved into the era of being grandparents. Some of us have moved into the era of being a little bit older, a little bit wiser, maybe a little bit more patient, maybe a little bit more concerned, or maybe a little bit more passionate about serving Christ and about living a life that would be Christ honoring and God glorifying. You know, God has been good to us, and we cannot live on that which is yesterday's blessings. Statement number one. Statement number two, we're not supposed to live on yesterday's prayers. Now, I can remember back, and I'm going to relate to some of the yesterday prayers, but I'm going to show you some of the present too. I remember when I got saved that I really wanted a Bible. We did not have a Bible in our house. We were told that only at that time, of course, I was raised in the Catholic faith, that only the priest could give proper interpretation. And so we really didn't have a Bible in the house. And so I remember seeing somebody as I visited a church, and they had a Bible. And I thought only the priest could give proper interpretation of the Bible. I really thought that. And so, but I thought he had a Bible and he's reading it, and he certainly doesn't look like a priest. And so I would like to have a Bible. But I didn't want to offend my parents. And so I said, God, would you please give me a Bible? And I began to pray for my very first Bible. And did you know it wasn't long after that that God blessed me with a Bible, and I remember it was a brown Scofield Bible. I still have it today, and it's very sacred to me. And I remember God giving me my very first Bible, and reading that Bible, and how God gave that to me was an enormous blessing. And that was the very first answer to the prayer that God ever answered in my personal life, was that God answered my prayer and gave me my very own Bible. And I remember that. I remember praying for Wade Wagner, my best friend, to get saved, and Wade received Jesus Christ as Savior. And I remember praying for Donald Piercy that he would get saved, and Donald received Christ as his Savior. I remember for praying for James Luckaball to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and I remember that he received Christ as his Savior. And then I remember praying for Brother Boone to get saved, that was our social studies teacher, and God began to work in his heart, and Mr. Boone bowed his heart, and he received Christ as a Savior. And I remember those young years. I remember going to Bible college, and I showed up at Bible college and just finished working a rodeo in Millers, Maryland. And so God was speaking to my heart about going to Bible college. And so I went to Bible college, and I didn't know that they dressed certain ways in Bible college. And I remember going to Bible college, and I had blue jeans on, and I had a cowboy hat on and a flannel shirt on and snakeskin cowboy boots on. And I showed up down at the Bible college, and I remember them looking at me and didn't let me in to begin with. And there's a story that goes with that. But I remember showing up the first day in class, and all these guys had suits on. I mean, they looked so sharp. And I thought, you know, I don't have a suit. And they kind of looked at me kind of weird when I showed up in class, and I was the only guy that didn't have a suit. And so I began to pray immediately. I didn't have money for a suit. And I prayed, and I said, Dear God, would you please give me a suit, any suit? God, would you? And you have to be careful what you pray for, because you might get it. And I remember the very first suit that God gave me was a vibrant, bright, pea green suit. You could see me coming, walking down the hallway. You didn't have to stare at me. You could catch me in the peripheral vision. It was that loud. And I remember having that pea green suit. And back then it was, of course, you know, back in the early 80s when I was in Bible college. And back then, Brother Purvis, they had the pants that, you know, it came with two pants, but the jacket you could switch in and out. So one side was pea green, the other was checkered. had a vest that you could turn around. Man, I was in high class. I prayed for one suit. God gave me two in one. I showed up to class the next day, and everybody was smirking. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was staring at me. And I thought, man, you know, what is that? I thought they're jealous. I got the nicest suit in the place, and they're jealous of me. Then I heard two guys down the hallway, they weren't jealous, they were making fun. And I thought, that's not nice. I didn't know Christians made fun of other Christians. I mean, I knew we did it as heathen, but I didn't know Christians did that. And so I got introduced to real Christianity. And so I began to pray, and I said, dear God, look, you know, I read a verse, and it's neat to read your Bible because I read this verse. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. So I saw this guy, and his suit was worse than my suit, and so I gave him my suit. I wasn't doing it where they could laugh at him, but I did give him my suit. And I prayed specifically then and said, God, I'm not asking you for just a suit now. I want a blue one. I would like to have a dark blue suit. God, would you please bless me and give me a dark blue suit? I'll wear it for you. Within a couple of days, God gave me a dark blue suit. I learned to pray specifically. I didn't learn my lesson too well, though. I was praying for a car. I worked at UPS. Not FedEx, I'm sorry. But I worked at UPS, and I remember I was bringing people to church. I had several of my UPS co-workers I'd try and bring to church, and I had my brother gave me a 12-speed bike that he had shipped down to where I was going to college, and I was riding that all the time, and I said, dear Lord, if you'll give me a car, I'll make sure I try to bring people to church. I'm having a hard time convincing them to ride the back of the bike. So God, would you please give me a car? And he gave me a car. I ran that thing, and I didn't know much about cars. I mean, I didn't have a brother Calhoun to go to and say, you know, teach me about cars, or brother Kazar. And so I didn't know you were supposed to put oil in the thing. I just kind of thought you just drive it. Joey Massaro had to learn that too. And I remember I driving that, and I blew the motor up. I didn't have money for another car. I mean, I just didn't have money for another car. So I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, you gave me one car. I know you can do it. So God, please give me the wisdom to keep the car running and keep the motor running. God, would you give me a car where the motor works? And later on, I found out the motor didn't work because it was me. But I said, give me a car where the motor works, and he did. Second car he gave me, the motor worked real fine. I learned about oil. I learned about all this other stuff, you know. But then the transmission went out. So I went to the Lord again. I said, Lord, I'm in my second year of Bible college, and so far you give me a car the first year, you give me a car the second year, how about three? So would you give me a car where the motor works and the transmission works? And he did. You remember the duster? Boy, God gave me this duster. It was jacked up in the back. I mean, everybody was envious. I mean, all the guys coming up, never will forget, Lester Roloff preached that year, him and Bill Stafford, you remember that? Bill Stafford and Lester Roloff preached, and after Brother Roloff got done preaching, Joe West came up to me, and he said, I've got a car. Joe West had, I don't know, 10 or 20 kids, I don't know, but he had a bunch of kids, and I said, Joe, I said, I can't take your car. You got four kids or five kids, and I said, that's your only vehicle, and he said, no, if you don't take it, God can't bless me. He said, so what you're telling me by not taking it is that you don't want God to bless me. I said, Joe, I didn't say that. He said, yes, you did. You're not taking the car. Here's the car. God told me to give it to you. Now you take the car. And if you don't take the car, you're telling God that you don't want him to bless me. Now take the car. I said, okay. So I took the keys. Never will forget Mike Ham of Jerry Ham Chevrolet. Mike worked at our college, and he heard about what Joe did. He went back and told Jerry that owned Jerry Ham Chevrolet, and Jerry called Joe up and said, I want you to come to my car lot. And he said, I heard that you gave your car away to Mike Wells. And he said, you know, he said, I like guys like you that obey God. He says, so what I want you to do is take a walk in my car lot. You can pick any car you want to. It's yours for free. God gave him a brand new car because he was obedient to the Lord in giving me that duster. You know, but that was answer to prayers. You see, God would take and bless other people through you if you simply stay right with Him and pray. That car, the brakes went up, propelled up underneath the steering column one day, and I ran into a Cadillac broadside, and of course, he was a good Christian man. He sued me. You know, and I had all these problems with it, and then God gave me another car. I prayed, and God gave me a car. The motor worked, the transmission worked, the brakes did not propel up underneath the steering column. It was the ugliest car you ever saw in your life, but that thing ran us all the way to Brooklyn, New York. Now, can I tell you, listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying those things are great. And by the way, when you look back on those things, you can be energized because if God did it then, God can do it now. And I think about the times over the years that I prayed for suits and God continues to give this and God continues to give that. And I remember when I first bought my first piece of rental property down in the Mississippi area that we sold a while back. But I remember going into the bank and he said, no, you cannot borrow because it's out of our jurisdiction. And no, you cannot borrow because you're not a banker here. You're not one of our clients here. And my dear wife said, well, honey, you know, maybe it's just not the will of the Lord. And I said, well, let's pray. And then we prayed and we believed it was the will of the Lord. And so I said, we're just going to keep going. We'll just keep knocking. And eventually God's going to open the door. And I remember preaching a youth revival and there was a man that came up to me and he said, two of my teenagers got saved underneath your preaching. He said, if I could ever do anything for you whatsoever, he said, you just let me know. And I said, well, be honest with you, I got my eyes on a house. You don't happen to know a good loan agent, do you? And he said, that's what I do. I said, are you serious? He said, that's what I do. He said, what do you want? I said, I want money to buy this house. He said, you come by, I have the paperwork ready for you. He said, be great. You just sign off on it. You'll get your loan. Hey, what was that? Answer to prayer. Hey, God has just been so good. Amen. This church was an answer to prayer. I remember I was preaching with Jeff Owens many years ago up in the North Carolina area. And as we were preaching, this was 2 years before this ever came about. And he said this. He said, now, Brother Wells, have you ever thought of pastoring again? I was an evangelist, an international evangelist. I traveled here and overseas. And I said, well, from time to time, we have thought about settling down and taking a church. But I've got some very stringent criteria that church would have to meet. I mean, I have international worldwide evangelism. I don't want it to go away. It'd have to be a church big enough that it would not swallow the church and be a ministry of the church. And I said, so I'm still going to travel internationally. And I said, it needs to be a church outside of a large metro area. And it has to have an auditorium that sits about 500 plus or so. And I said, if you know of a church like that in the future, just give me a holler. And 2 years went by. Never talked about it then after that. And all of a sudden, he gave me a call. And we were in the Smokies, my wife and I. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm not going to take my phone, and I'm not going to take my, or I said, I'm not going to answer my phone. I'm not going to take my computers, just you and I on this time together. And all of a sudden, Jeff Owens called me, and I realized we're supposed to be preaching together in a couple of weeks. And I thought, maybe he's counseling. Should I answer the phone? But it's up to you. You know, I'm with you this week. I said, I'm going to answer the phone. And she said, oh, answer the phone. And so I answered the phone, and he told me about this church here. The pastor wanted to resign and felt like that's what he needed to do. And he was in his office, and the pastor was telling this and putting this on his heart. And he said, your name just kept coming up and pressing against my heart. And he said, I knew that God didn't have a mistake in that. And so I suggested you. And, of course, the rest is history. Can I say answer the prayer? Answer the prayer. Since we've been here, we've seen God do some really neat things, and God's provided so many things around the church. And answer to prayer. We've seen God save a lot of people, and many people have come to know Christ as Savior, and extra bus routes have been started, and Sunday school classes have been started, and people's been helped, and people's been encouraged, and people have been preached to and guided, and lives have been changed, and families have been redeemed. And can I say, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's an answer to prayer. You cannot be one that lives on yesterday's blessings. You cannot be one that lives on yesterday's prayer. Statement number next. You cannot be one that lives on yesterday's study. Yesterday's study. Brother Costa did a wonderful job in my OPAF Sunday school class and earning the most points and bringing his Bible and bringing an offering and bringing visitors and stuff like that. And so I a man that I've known for some time now put out a book. It's called the New Testament Bible Study Handbook. And the Old Testament Bible Study Handbook did a tremendous amount of study and put into that. And I awarded him with that Old Testament Bible Study Handbook. And can I tell you, I watched his face light up. You know why? There's a man that likes to study the Word of God. Now, can I tell you, it's important that we understand that that studying of the Word of God, don't let it grow stale. You know, God's got things that are fresh every morning just for you. Okay, you show me somebody that does not get in that Bible on a regular basis. When they come to church, it's like, ho-hum. But you show me somebody that is in the Bible on a regular basis, and when they come to church, can I tell you, beloved, here's what happens. They're excited about the things of God. That's why the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. In the Bible, they were called the Bereans. Over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word, it says, with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, it says, whether those things were so. And so what did they do? They searched the scriptures. Is it true? Is it true? I love our Wednesday night Bible studies. I love the Wednesday night Bible. I mean, I love Sunday morning. I love Sunday night. But I tell you what, Wednesday night to me is just a whole different vineyard. And on Wednesday night, you know, I will settle down a little bit, and it's just not all preaching. And somebody told me, they're a brand new member, and said, I have never seen a pastor that moves around so much. Said, you know, one minute, you know, I'm taking a note, and you know, I'm writing something down in my Bible, and I look up and you're gone. You know, then I look up and you're over there, and then you're over there, and then you're over there. Well, Wednesday night's a little bit different. Wednesday night, yeah, I don't move around quite as much, but we kind of slow it down. The Bible says that a pastor ought to be apt to teach also. And so on Wednesday night, I take the Bible literal, and so I would do some teaching on Wednesday night. We'll pass out a sheet. You can fill it in. You can follow along. You can take it home and be able to research the matter. Now, I think that's important. I think it's important. You know why? Because you ought never to say, I believe that because preacher said that. You ought never to say, well, I believe that because I heard a pastor say that one day. You ought to be able to say, I believe that because thus saith the word of the Lord. Because one day you may go through another pastor change. One day this pastor will get older and die. I'm glad nobody said amen. Thank you very much. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that, you know, you cannot live from yesterday's study. You can't do that. You know, it's fresh every morning, and you get up, and as you study the Word of God, you'll be able to see things that will be not a new book of revelation, but a new revelation, an illumination to you. You'll be able to see things that would change your life. And when you become complacent about that which is the Word of God, can I tell you, you lose the excitability. You know, there is no question that God does not answer in this book. There is no puzzle that God does not take care of in putting the pieces in the right place in this book. I don't want us to be a people that just follow a pastor around. No, I want us to be a people of the Bible. Be a people of the Word of God. So that you'll be able to say when somebody comes against you and they say, well, why do you believe that? Well, let me tell you, over in the book of John, chapter 11 and verse 4, here's what the Bible says. Or over in the book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 11, here's what the Bible says. Or over in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 8, here's what the Bible says. And I want us to be able to be a people of the book. And can I tell you, when you become a people of the book, here's what happens. You are not anymore tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you don't want that. You want to be able to teach your children, here's why we believe what we believe. Here's what we do, and here's why we do it. We have a guide, and God has given us that guide that is called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that would guide us to all truth. And He uses the Word of God to be able to do that. And so we become well-versed in the Bible. Wait, the Bible teaches here over in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles. The Bible says, and punish men that settle on, it says, the lees, and it says, and say in their heart, the Lord will not do good. It says, neither will he do evil. These people were people that were not settled. Now, can I tell you, in our Bible, the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 34, the Bible says, surely, it says, he scorneth the scorners and he giveth grace unto the lowly. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 35, the Bible says, the wise shall inherit glory. But it says, shame, it says, shall be the promotion of fools. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him, it says, be glory both now and forever. Amen. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to study the Word of God, that the Word of God can help us to be able to grow. No man is a self-made man. No woman in here is a self-made woman. No child or college student is a self-made person. Why not let God be a part of the fabric that makes you to become what you ought to be? Wait a minute, watch this. There is George Mueller. He said the first thing a child of God should do every morning and morning by morning is to obtain food for the inner man. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, Bible study is the metal that makes the Christian the strongest that a person could ever be. It is strong meat that will nourish that which is holy men. So it is important that we stay in that Bible. Statement number one, don't live on yesterday's blessing. Statement number two, don't live on yesterday's prayer. Statement number three, and I'm almost done, don't live on yesterday's study. Statement number four, don't live on yesterday's sacrifices. Don't live on yesterday's sacrifices. I don't know if God has done this in your life. I know God has done this in mine, so I will testify. There's been times when I have even traveled, and I would be with a pastor, and I would say, hey, preacher, I tell you what, that is a well-used Bible. And a pastor would say, yes, I've been praying for another one, but I thank God for this one. You know, and it's always been this way in my wife's life. It's always been this way in my life. I'm finding out that our children do very much the same thing, and I like it. And that if we find somebody that has a need, if we have the ability to be the blessing, we want to be the blessing. I don't know how many times I've come across a pastor like that, and I would come back and I would buy him a Bible that would be just like my Bible. And I'd send it to him, and many times I put a presentation page in the front of it just to let him know I'm so glad to have a friend like you that is serving Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be able to reach out and be a blessing to other people. You know, and sometimes you yourself even have to sacrifice. I was taking a dear brother out to eat the other day, and he's a young entrepreneur, a young businessman, and it came time my family and I went down and picked him up at the World Trade Center and picked him up, and he was presenting his business that he's trying to get going here in Dallas. And so we picked him up, and we went to eat. And of course, here's a young entrepreneur and doing very well. And he said, you know, as we were eating, he said, man, let me take care of that. I said, no. We're going to take care of that because we came here to pick you up to be a blessing to you. You know, isn't it good to be a blessing to other people? To look out among and find people that you can be an actual blessing to. And sometimes, can I tell you, you being a blessing to somebody might be a sacrifice. But isn't it good? Mrs. Miller had surgery, and I called, and I mentioned this in my Sunday school class, and I called Mrs. Acosta, and I said, Mrs. Acosta, Mrs. Miller's having surgery. Can you go down and be with Mrs. Miller? We love Mrs. Miller. And she went down, and did you know, Mrs. Miller, the whole time she counted that such a blessing? You know, now what is that? That's a caring heart. That's a caring heart. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying don't live on yesterday's sacrifices. There's, and I'm not talking about just sacrificing financially. You know, sometimes people just need somebody to walk beside them. Sometimes people just need a friend. We're getting ready. I can't wait. We're working on it right now. I presented the plans. Brother Palmore visited up in Powell, Tennessee at Brother Clarence Sexton's church, and he brought back a concept that they do there at the Temple Baptist Church called Seating Shepherds, and I've examined it, and I've tossed it this way and that way, and sometimes, as one of the staff guys said this in our leaders retreat the other day when we took all of our staff and part-time staff off to be able to give extensive training, he said, you know, one thing I know about preachers, sometimes he will think on something 6 months before we actually appropriate it. I have taken this thing, man, I have tore this thing up, and I've repatched it and tore it up again and repatched it and tore it up again and thought, you know, can we do this and can we do that, and tore it up again. It's called Seating Shepherds. And man, I'm excited about the possibility of appropriating that in our church, and that's for the sole reason of people fellowshipping together. People inviting people over, and people helping each other, and people getting to know each other, and people, if you will, please, building friendships. And here's what I find, and I'm done, but here's what I find in churches across America. And boy, I mean, I thank God we have the church that we have, and it's growing, and I thank God for that. But I also thank God that we have people that just don't live and die to themselves. We even have new members. They're just meeting the needs of other people and helping other people and encouraging other people. You know, I'm not going to start calling names, because if I do, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I think of one couple that just joined our church not too long ago, and you know, very, very sound people doctrinally, and they found out that such and such a family that had been coming to the church had a great need, and so they stepped out. They took care of the need. I'm thinking, isn't that amazing? I think of another couple that we were having a dinner on the grounds, and they went over and they saw somebody, and they invite them to the park, and that person came, and that person's made a decision for Christ, and here today, and I'm thinking, man, what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm thinking of people who go out and, man, they take of their time, and I watch people, and boy, they go out and they make these visits, and they spend time encouraging people and encouraging the saints and encouraging people that are not saved to come to know Christ as Savior, and encouraging people to be in Sunday school and stuff like that. You know, sometimes, can I tell you, sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes it just takes that inner man that you allow to be able to be fed to the point and to the place where that inner man overtakes that flesh desire to be able to be what we should be. I'll give you this and I'm done. Not everybody gets up on Sunday morning singing hallelujah. Not everybody gets up on Sunday morning and you're rolling out of the bed and say, glory to God, it's Sunday. Can't wait, it's Sunday. I'm going to go to church and it's going to be so good. Most people are not like that, even in this room. Matter of fact, most of you are having a hard time just staying awake right now. But you drug that body to the church. You drug that body to a pew. You forced your body into the pew. You force your eyes to stay open. You're trying to mentally be partially alert. You're listening to this and you're grasping those truths and you're bringing them in. Now, can I tell you, watch, sometimes it's not easy to serve Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard. I mean, come on. Now, if we were going to Disney World, it might be different. Six Flags, State Fair, come on. Mountain climbing, okay, forget it. But it would be different. But the fact is, I've often said, coming to church is like taking vitamins. It's not a B12 shot where all of a sudden you start to zing, zing. But it's more like those vitamins you take them in. You just keep taking them in. You just keep taking them in. You just keep taking it, and you get stronger. And you get stronger, and you get strong. But you don't become super Christian overnight. but you just take it in, you get stronger, get stronger. Then all of a sudden you start doing things that you didn't do a year ago. You start serving God in ways that you didn't even think you could do 2 years ago. Then all of a sudden you're helping this person, helping that person. You go from being somebody that needs help, that needs encouragement, that needs somebody to walk beside you, to start walking on your own. And before you know it, you're helping others to walk. You're helping others to do what they should be doing. You're helping. Okay, now wait a minute. What is that? That's called growth. But that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to grow. It takes time to become what we all should be in Christ. But you'll never do it by looking at rotten bread. You never do it by looking back and saying, well, yeah, I remember years ago how God blessed me years ago. But you could have that today too. God could certainly do that today too. If you so wanted God to do that in your life. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for church. Lord, what a blessing it is to realize that we today can have that fresh baked bread.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.